Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and this is the Sunday Roundup. Jeremy Corbyn was Andrew Marr's chief guest of the day. Marr began by asking for Corbyn's personal stance on Brexit, something which has proved highly elusive since the referendum result in 2016.
If you become Prime Minister, when you become Prime Minister, do you want this country to leave the EU or not?
We're going to put that choice to the British people and they will make that decision. We'll negotiate within 3 months a credible, sensible option of leave and put that alongside Remain in a referendum.
I'm asking about your view. You'll be Prime Minister, you hope, after the election. Okay. As Prime Minister, do you, Jeremy Corbyn, want to leave the EU or not?
I want a close relationship with the EU in the future and we will put that decision to the British people. And I will abide by that decision. That's the view we've come to in the Labour Party.
You want a close relationship with the EU, which implies that we are outside the EU at that point.
A leave option.
Close but outside. Is that what you'd like, personally?
A leave option would mean a trade relationship with Europe, and it would mean protection of rights. And obviously that includes protection of the Good Friday Agreement. That would be put alongside Remain in a referendum within 6 months. And my whole strategy has been to try and bring people together on both sides of the argument, because actually there's a great deal that unites them about the inequalities and injustices in this country.
I understand the strategy. There's an awful lot of people watching and they're trying to make up in their minds who they want to be the next Prime Minister of this country. And I'm asking you, as somebody who seeks that job, very important job, what your own personal view is about leaving the EU or not. It's the biggest single question facing a lot of people in this country, and they have a right to know the answer.
It's one of the biggest questions facing
the
people in this
country.
The answer is, as I've explained to you, that we will negotiate a credible option of leaving, put that alongside Remain, and the British people will make their mind up on that basis, and we will discuss this, obviously, when we've concluded those initial negotiations, which will start immediately we take office.
Marr put it to Corbyn that he would find it difficult negotiating a new Brexit deal when so many of his closest allies had come out publicly for remaining in the EU.
Your plan now is that you win the election and then you go to Brussels for some 6 months or so.
3 months.
3 months to negotiate a different Brexit deal. And you're going in there negotiating that Brexit deal with your Chancellor, your Home Secretary, your Foreign Secretary, your Brexit Secretary, almost all the key members of your cabinet saying publicly that whatever you negotiate, they would campaign in the referendum for Remain. It's not a very strong army at your back, really, is it?
Well, you don't know who I'm going to take with me into those negotiations.
But you're not going to sack John McDonnell, no, Diane Abbott, Keir Starmer, Emily
There would obviously be a team of people who would be involved in this, and they would be representative of all parts of the UK and of areas that have different views on it, as indeed...
So you bring Brexit voices in?
Can I finish? Thank you. When we had the talks with the UK government over the summer, we did have a very wide range of voices meeting the government on this, and I think it's very important that all parts of the country are represented in this, and that's what I would seek to do.
So you would bring pro-Brexit voices into those negotiations, into the cabinet, to help you do that negotiation?
There'll all be Labour voices that would support the election on the basis of the agreement we hope to reach with the European Union, which we'd put to the people of this country. Because I do think we've got to settle this, and that we settle it by agreeing on a relationship with Europe, either in or out.
Marr also asked Corbyn about the issue of freedom of movement between the UK and the EU after Brexit.
Will free movement end when we leave the EU?
There will be a great deal of movement.
A great deal of movement, so free movement will not end?
No, you'll have to wait until Thursday. I know you're very impatient.
I just want to get you to tell me what's going to happen.
Well, you'll know on Thursday.
The Foreign Secretary, Dominic Raab, was challenged on whether the Conservatives' post-Brexit immigration policy would be successful in bringing overall numbers down.
At the moment, it's 226,000 net. The Prime Minister has said it's going to come down. A lot of people voted for Brexit because they wanted it to come down. By how much will it come down?
Well, so we're not going to fix on an arbitrary target.
That if you don't fix on any kind of targets, we have no way of judging whether your policy has been a failure or a success.
No, that's wrong. Because actually what we'll do is make sure that the government and Parliament has got control over immigration. So we get the advantages, the benefits in the way I described, the innovators coming here, creating the jobs. But also,
so how do we judge if the control is being used properly?
And we also control the costs and the pressures that immigration, if it's uncontrolled, undoubtedly places. and through parliamentary accountability, we can make sure that by exercising a points-based system, we've got control year by year. And I think that's the way you bring down immigration, but you do it responsibly in a way which gets the advantages, but also controls the cost. You don't.
So if immigration comes down by one person, if in 5 years' time, net immigration is 226,000 minus one. Is that a success?
Well, not on its own, but what you'll want, and actually what people want to know, is it's not just the volume, which, yes, we're committed to bringing down, but it's also the kind of immigration you've got coming into the country. We want people coming here who want to contribute, whether it's to our economy, whether it's to our public services.
While discussing fishing arrangements, Ma raised the question of whether leaving the EU without a deal was still on the table.
If we don't get what we want on fishing, what happens? Do we leave without a deal?
Well, I'm not going to be able to break down in advance the hypothetical negotiating scenarios. The guarantee I can give is we'll be an independent coastal state, we'll have full control over it, and we'll do what's in the best interest of fishermen and women up and down the country.
Could we leave without a deal?
I think it's... It's not what we're going to do.
No, I don't think, all right, that's clear.
I don't think it's remotely likely now.
Sophie Ridge interviewed the Security Minister, Brandon Lewis. She brought up claims that Conservative Party officials had secretly offered jobs or peerages to Brexit Party candidates to tempt them to stand down. Lewis denied the allegations.
There's been claims this week that the Conservative Party members within that group have been offering jobs or peerages to members of the Brexit Party if they stand down. Now, I spoke to Ben Habib, a Brexit Party MEP, yesterday. This is what he said to me. He cited the case of Anne Widdecombe, and then he went on to say, I know there have been lots of conversations going on. They, as in the Conservative Party, are being economical with the truth. Absolutely, it's been going on without a shadow of a doubt. Have these conversations been happening?
We have not offered any deals to anybody. I think what's rather surreal with this conversation, not least of all, is the fact that actually, as chairman, I'm the person who removed Anne Widdecombe's membership of the Conservative Party because she had joined the Brexit Party. It's completely in breach of our constitution. But also because we are the party who's saying we need to get a clear Conservative majority. We are fighting these seats to get Brexit done and deliver for people. What's slightly bizarre with this whole conversation is this is in light of a situation where, in contrast, we're seeing the Liberal Party with lots of small parties, even Labour, talking about restricting choice for people and
having
to remain alive.
About it.
That's talking about doing deals. We're not doing that.
They are being open about what's happening.
Yeah, and we're being open about the fact we are not doing that. We are not offering... Nobody's been offered jobs or anything like that.
Have there been any conversations going on?
We are absolutely focused on having Conservative candidates in all of these seats and saying to people very clearly, to get Brexit done, to go on to moving on to our domestic agenda, exciting domestic agenda we've got, investing in our NHS, in our schools, in our police, we need a Conservative majority. The only way to do that is to vote Conservative.
So you can guarantee that there have been no conversations that have been going on about offering jobs to Brexit Party members or candidates?
There's been no job offers. We're not doing deals with anybody. We've been very clear about this from the beginning. The Prime Minister's
been
very clear about this as well. We are focused on having Conservative candidates and seeking for people to vote for those candidates, not doing deals with people.
Have any conversations been going on?
I'm not aware of any conversations going on. There's no deals being done. We are fielding Conservative candidates, as the nomination papers that have been published already show, across the country. We are the one true national party that can get a majority, get Brexit done and deliver for our economy and our country.
Ridge asked the Shadow Health Secretary, Jonathan Ashworth, about Labour's latest proposals for dental healthcare.
So what we're proposing today is that we will scrap the charges for a dental checkup, and which is a check, getting your mouth checked, getting your teeth checked, getting a scale and polish if necessary, getting X-ray if necessary. It's called the Band 1 NHS checkup, which you have to pay around £22 for at the moment. We're going to scrap that. It'll be free checkups, and we actually think this is really important because we do have an oral health crisis in the country. You've got more and more people using these. I don't know if you can see it. This is a sort of dental kit you can buy from online or from a sort of pound shop. More and more people are doing what is called DIY dentistry because they cannot afford to go and see a dentist. Their teeth get worse and worse and worse, and they try and do fillings on their own teeth. We have stories of charities that usually operate in the developing world or the poorest parts of the world operating with mobile clinics in places like Dewsbury. We have stories of people trying to pull out teeth with pliers or trying to super glue in dentures. And of course we have a real crisis amongst children. Over 100,000 children admitted to hospital in the last few years because of tooth decay. And actually when you look into it, a lot of parents don't realise that children get free dental checkups. So we think by expanding access we'll also have knock-on effects to improving children's oral health as well.
And finally, Ridge challenged the Greens co-leader Sian Berry on the cost of her party's spending pledges.
This is research that the Times carried out yesterday. And this is the party spending pledges so far that they've calculated. So the Lib Dems on £193 billion, Conservatives £210 billion, Labour on £473 billion, and then you've got the Green Party on £959 billion. I mean, OK, you might not be expecting to be in government, but come on.
Well, half of that is our Green New Deal spending over the time,
yeah,
over the period.
I'm not asking about what it's on. I'm
and the Times
about
has
the
made
amount.
A miscalculation. And one of the other policies... I mean, we are putting forwards big ideas every day in this election. We are
yeah,
more to come this
looks
week.
Like it.
One of the things we announced this week was the idea of a basic income for every citizen. Now, this is something else that costs money, but it's the power parallel to the Green New Deal spending.
But don't you
it's
have a responsibility
in people?
To
and
be
the Times
realistic.
Have overestimated the cost of that, so that isn't quite as high as it
okay.
would say. But I'm not going to mess about. We are planning to invest an awful lot in this country.
That's all for this week. I'm Katie Balls, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe on the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store. We'll also have a special offer. You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks for just £12, and you'll receive a free Amazon voucher worth £20. Just go to spectator.co.uk/voucher. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do also subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free round of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/Evening Blend. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.